startlingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
Hello.
Hello.
Well, £3.
£3?
On the scales.
You put on £3.
Well, that pizza was good, wasn't it?
I know, you nicked half of it
that
as well, didn't you?
I saw
you walking out with the boxes.
Well, Amanda told me to take some.
Yeah, yeah, and the cake.
She was worried that...
Did you have carrot cake as well?
I didn't actually try any. I'm very sad.
Oh, you missed the carrot cake.
It didn't come out till I was leaving. I think that was on purpose, wasn't it?
Yeah.
As I was leaving, suddenly there were three cakes, not just one.
I'll tell you what, we had... we launched one of my new businesses on Friday, and I silly invited Jules and her new husband, Gavin, and we had pizza from the lovely folks that On Pizza in Ashford,
delicious.
And it's stunning, isn't it?
It's just as I remembered it on air, and I tried a slice from most of the boxes because there were lots of different variations.
Yeah, I saw.
Well,
that's how you put on the £13.
£3.
Oh, 13.
£3.
Oh,
£3. You know, when I was in Savannah, and we were staying at this lovely hotel in Savannah, we were working there, and I went, as a lot of women do before you go on holiday, I lost about £6 ready for the southern cooking.
To put it back on.
Yeah. Because southern cooking, as you know. So I said to the concierge there, after about 4 days, I said, I lost £6 to come here, and I've put on £6 already with your southern hospitality. And he said, £6? Honey, you're just getting started.
Yeah, little did he know.
Yeah, because we went to Annie Wilkes there, of course, which is the famous Mrs. Wilkes. I've got the cookbook, and it's there was a great big white-looking thing on the side of the plate. And I said to the chap that
grits.
Me, no, it wasn't grits.
Hominies.
There was grits. There were all sorts. There was a white, big white thing.
Right.
It looked like a fluffy dumpling.
Ah, biscuit.
And I said, it wasn't biscuit. And I said, what's that? And he said, that's fat.
Fat.
It was, I don't know what it was anyway, but it was very tasty, but it was fat.
Yeah.
So I did put on quite a lot there. Mm. But I do love Savannah. But anyway, yeah, your pizza wasn't fat, but I did have one triangle from each box. But I did take...
bearing in mind, we had like 17 boxes.
The only one I didn't try was the vegan one.
It was all right.
I avoid vegan for various reasons. But they were absolutely stonking, and I think we ought to have them back on the show as soon as possible.
Yeah, yeah, just so you can bake more pizza for
some
free.
It was delicious and beautiful. And then the cake. So as I was leaving, I think Amanda just kept it till I was leaving, to be fair.
Yeah, back. Probably.
As I swept out with my new husband under my wing...
Under your arm?
Under my arm, and... or my bat wing.
Yeah.
As you guess,
not a bingo wing, then.
Well, as a woman of a certain age, who now has to be blonde because I'm grey...
Yeah. I have the same problem.
I'm naturally a brunette, you see. But, you know, all women over 50 have to decide either to be Joan Collins and have your hair dyed every minute or have a wig or whatever, or just go blonde, and that's what I've decided to do. But my hairdresser,
yeah,
my hairdresser decided. And yours looks fabulous.
Thank you.
You've got the sort of badger look, haven't you?
Yeah.
Anyhow, as I was sweeping out, I saw the carrot cake, and my mother, Ruth, who's 92, was looking after Darcy Greyhound, because we'd rescued a greyhound who's little...
Not that night.
No, not that night. We've had her a year, but she can't be left. She eats the window.
She eats Jules's shoes.
Yeah, she eats all my shoes. She eats the door, the front door. She has very severe panic attacks about being left. Because she's had a misspent youth, let's say. So my mother was drafted in, and she said, it's already twice this week I've had this dog, and you know, she doesn't really like dogs. Anyway, so I took her two bits of carrot cake.
Did
and
you?
I was very tempted to scoff one on the way home, but I didn't.
It was really nice.
Yeah, and the wine was nice, because I didn't get a hangover. I had quite a bit of that, but I didn't have a hangover.
Which
is unusual, because normally I have organic at
home. Who knows?
It's very pleasant.
I don't drink, so I don't know.
You weren't that pleasant that evening, but I was pleased.
I wasn't what?
That evening, you were a bit grumpy, I found.
It's called stress, love.
I introduced you to the lovely Len.
Yeah, 15 times.
Once. And then you just turned your back on him.
Mark, I'm going to tell you. I'll tell you this story.
He's a lovely guy, this Len.
I've launched this business, and we're selling office space and co-working space, okay?
And we
got a launch party, and I've invited people that were interested, yeah? So everybody there, there's 50 people there, they're all potentially interested in moving in there, apart from her, she's just there to eat the pizza.
And the wine.
And if she came over once, she came over 10 times, go, you need to speak to Len and tell him about the offices. You need to speak to Len and tell him about the offices. I go, in a minute, I'm going to do a presentation to everybody, telling everybody about the offices.
Yeah. But Len knows.
Yeah, but she need, but Len needs to know.
I'll tell you the true story after, when we're off air, because I'm not catty. Yeah. But I will tell you the true story off air. But anyway, Len was lovely. He was a local, and he was standing on his own with a little glass of wine all on his own. So I went up and talked to him.
Hey, listen, he was a good-looking bloke who was standing on his own. And she went, oh, that's interesting. Yeah. I'll go and see what he's got to say.
What he forgets is I have a good-looking bloke of my own.
Yeah, you do. Well, you've been through a few of them.
Yeah, but my good-looking bloke is lovely, but he can't work the dishwasher properly. Yeah, he doesn't know where the salt goes. 29 years.
I did tell him to go away. Gavin.
And me. And it wasn't go away. It was something right. You were a rat that day.
I wasn't even talking to Gavin. He walked up to me to say hello while I was telling somebody else to...
Go away.
Go forth.
Poor Gavin.
I wasn't talking to you.
You were like a bear with a sore head. And anyway, let's just talk about the building. The building is absolutely beautiful.
Which one?
The one that I've been to, because you haven't invited me to the other one.
Well, there's four there.
When's the launch of the other one?
Well, when they're built.
The church, I mean.
Oh, the church opened. Yeah, the church opened yesterday.
Oh, I wasn't invited to that one, Penny.
It's on Saturday.
This Saturday?
Yeah.
I might go. I've got a wedding on Friday night to go to.
Well, you go to a church. That's a good place for a wedding.
It's in a farm. I've got the shindig on a Friday evening.
We officially opened yesterday, but we got a community open day on Saturday.
I might pop along.
Yeah.
Is there pizza?
No. We've got a coffee shop there. We're not going to do pizza, are we? We're doing and cake.
I'll need coffee and cake because I'll need carbs after a wedding, won't I?
Yeah, we've got a bit of a problem with the council with food, don't we?
Well,
brick walls, apparently.
I've got a problem with the council because my rubbish isn't being collected. They're on strike.
No, they're on strike, aren't they?
Yeah, some of them's been paid. Apparently there's two parts, because I know it's Kaneko. Mm. Apparently there's two bits, but I had to give up with my caddy, my food caddy, because maggots and things. I had to put it in the bin over the road. I don't think that's allowed.
Somebody else's bin.
No, we got...
She went round her neighbours and emptied her bin into their bin. How about that?
We've got public bins over at Road, because I live on the seafront. Have I gone all northern?
I don't know. I'm just trying to... She lives in Whitstable. What's that got to do with North Yorkshire? I don't know. I've lost the plot.
Over at Road.
Right.
Anyway, Jimmy Taylor, you know what
I mean? Yeah, yeah.
Anyway,
it's all those whippets and clogs and clogs and flat caps. Well, you know, you live in Whitstable, woman.
I just feel it's posh. I think it's my tea that's northern, something about it, Tetley or something.
Anyway.
Anyhow, so I had to put my maggots.
You dumped your food caddy in somebody else's bin.
I put it in the dog poo bins over the road.
Did you?
I thought that would be fine. It'll all sort of, whatever it will do, won't it, disintegrate.
So does that not have maggots?
Well, probably. But it's in one of these recycling bags.
Oh, right. I wonder what that was for a minute. Listener, she just waved a biodegradable bag at us that looked suspiciously like she bought it from her dog.
Timing.
It's what?
The timing. The timing of the bag coming out was just...
What's in the bag?
Tea bags.
Oh, tea bags.
You know, I always bring my own. I'll show you. And a peg, look. Various listeners that have listened to us over
the
years.
You got any lucky heather to go with a peg or what?
Well, yeah. I've got a little tea bag.
Right.
I'm very frugal. Because I don't like that tea bag in the case. And then I've got little lemon and ginger.
Right.
In case. Happy to share one with you. I've got a few in here, I think, Penny. Well, no,
I don't want anything out of that bag.
But I've got a little biodegradable. So
I can see.
That'll be fine for the poo thing, won't it? It'll just go disintegrate. Anyway, I'm pleased that some of the dustbin men are back, or refuse people, what do you call them?
I don't know.
There is a lady driver I've noticed as well. I love her.
That's good.
I put biscuits out for them, a tin of biscuits once. I might regret that now that they're not collecting it. It's not the time to do it in summer, is it? Because we've only got fortnight.
Well, that's why
anyway.
They're on strike, aren't they? They're, people go on strike at the worst time because that's how you make people do what you want them to do. It's no point going on a strike if you aren't emptying the bins anyway.
No, I know, but it is annoying. And we get fortnightly, and we pay extra for the garden thing. And the garden thing's crazy. We fill it up like all the time, and we haven't got a particularly big garden. And then they stop taking it, even though you pay for it, in November till February. Like, nobody ever pruned anything in November to February, which I find a bit weird. Going back to your Tenterton office space, hot desking, I didn't look at the other buildings because I was too busy eating pizza and introducing me to Len 14 times.
Who
turned your back and was extremely rude, and I apologised to him profusely and topped him up and things. But it was nice to see some old faces there. There were a few people I remembered, and it was lovely to see Martin
and Debs.
And I thought the building was absolutely great. So the guy, the man that refurbs Victorian... Can you not do that face to me? The man that refurbs...
Andy.
Yeah, can you not huff at me?
And Fiona,
when I'm
yeah.
Yeah, the man...
Penny, I did a presentation on this. She was so busy looking at Lynn that she didn't even listen to the presentation.
I tried not to, but I was videoing you live, you know, and then you're concentrating on the visuals and tweeting
exactly,
it out.
Yeah.
And I'm having to write it on my Twitter. It all takes time. Anyway, the man that refurbishes...
Radiators.
Alan.
Victorian radiators. Andy.
Ashley. And his lovely wife.
Fiona.
Yeah, I remember that. They've done an exquisite job. I mean, I love all that reclaimed wood on the ceiling.
And the corrugated tin.
I love all that. And I loved, he had old Chesterfields. I mean, you know, you work in an office. Can you imagine? They've got these lovely old Chesterfield leather sofas to sit in a little communal area. And then they've got showers, which I thought was lovely because you could, at the end of the day, if you're going out on the Raz or biking in, Penny, exactly. Yeah. Biking in. And also what I loved was tea and coffee was included, which... is really brilliant because if you go and you're spending like I take a little coffee fast and save a bit of money, but if you're working all day, that's great.
Yeah, we are opening a coffee shop, an eatery there as well.
I would love that. Yeah, it's worth me going to Tenterden just for that.
Absolutely,
it is. I thought they'd done a beautiful
job. Did you like
job?
The moth-eaten eagle hanging from the ceiling as
I
well?
I did. Right. Yeah, was that your touch? Or?
No, that was Andy's.
Yeah.
Andy, who's my business partner in this, he runs a company called the Old Radiator Company.
I'll find a picture of him.
And they buy, restore, and sell Victorian radiators.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, the old big cast iron things. Yeah. So he spends an awful lot of time hanging around antique shops and junk shops and stuff like that. And when he can't find radiators, he buys anything else he can find and puts it in our building. So we've got a right eclectic mix of stuff. I'll tell you, my favourite thing in that entire building is the sign when you walk through the door.
Yeah.
Did you see it?
Yeah.
Don't make eye contact with a gorilla.
Yeah, I love that. That was great. And I thought the loo's... waiting for a bin in the loo, of course, for the paper towels. So we all had to pile them up on a little shelf. Just a little afterthought. They'll do that because it's new, isn't it?
Yeah. Did you use the one that where the window's open to the car park because we haven't put the frosting on it yet?
Oh, well, that sounds like my African one.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Where is that? Namibia.
Mark Penny, I'll tell you this story. She's, before lockdown, her and her husband, Gavin, did a lot of travelling, especially in Africa and Asia. And she's a loo maven, yeah? Wherever she goes in the world, she'll message me and send me pictures of the loos, yeah? Yeah, whether they're any good or not, right? And where were you? Namibia.
Yeah,
she was in Namibia. In the bush, in Namibia.
In the bush.
And she said, look, at this toilet is in the middle of the Namibian bush. And I'm thinking, oh, my God. And she sent me a picture of this. It was gold and... silver and glass and absolutely stunning picture.
Yeah.
And I'll go, that's in the middle of the Namibian bush? Yes. She said, there's one drawback. And when she turned the camera around, there was no back wall to the toilet. It was just open to the bush.
And anyone, any lion or tiger that wanted to hop in, or a monkey, of course.
Victorian radiators.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I'm just tweeting out for listeners so they can see the lovely Andy and Fiona copying in Business Bunker. So, carry on, because I'm tweeting.
Oh, thank you. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to read some tweets, because we've got loads of tweets coming in, we've got loads of emails to read and stuff like that. We've had a tweet from the lovely Steph talking about South Africa. Michael Park Surveyors, commercial surveyors based in Medway, covering the southeast of England, and they say... we're doing our best to listen live today. We've got electrical problems. If not, they'll listen on catch-up, so thank you for that.
Who was that?
And Michael Park Surveyors.
Oh, are they in South Africa?
Steph is.
Yeah, well, she might be having those blackout things they get.
Yeah.
12 hours or something.
Yeah. What else we got? Chips and Dinks. It's Tuesday again already. It's the Business Bunker. The weeks are flying by, and looks like summer finished in June. We'll listen if we can, or we may have to listen on the catch-up later, depending on how busy we are, but enjoy the show, and we're looking forward to it. So thank you. That's Bev and Tony, Chips and Dinks.
Actually, I think my alloys need doing again.
Have you curbed them again?
Yeah, I do.
Phil Wilson, Pip's Drums, he's on tour at the moment, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where is he? Did he say?
No, he's just said, have a good Business Bunker show. I'll be listening in, but I can't remember where he is. He's... they're on tour somewhere, and he's touring with
T-Rex
Ecstasy. Yeah.
So, Phil, for those who are new to the radio show, where have you been, is an ex... Who's it, Mud?
Mud,
isn't it?
Mud. He's not ex. He's actually the drummer for Mud, yeah.
Are they still going?
Yeah, still going, yeah.
Oh, is it the original?
No, because Les Gray passed away, didn't they?
That's what I thought. That's why
so they had to call... Due to... The rest of them are the original Mud. Les Gray, who was the lead singer, passed away a few years ago. The estate wouldn't let them use the name, so it's called Mud 2.
They could be called Muddy.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's right.
In Hastings.
Oh,
yeah,
really?
Yeah,
yeah. I want to come and see you in Hastings, really, because I've got a web guy that used to do my websites for me, and I went to see him in Hastings. I really liked it because you've got independent shops.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know if you still have, but you did when I went there. I loved it. So I hopped down. Yeah, and wasn't there a Persian restaurant that I ate in there? Right, I think on the corner. This is going back 7-8 years. About 8-10 years maybe. Little Persian, like a tiny little Iranian Persian restaurant.
There's all sorts.
On the bend.
There's lots, and they change hands quite frequently. Hastings is a popular seaside town, you know, I mean...
Are you being... we can't talk about it now, but are you being overrun by migrants in boats?
No, not
you haven't.
Not so much.
I thought they put some up in a hotel there.
They did I was saying that to you about 15 years ago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. They did take that was in St Leonard's, and then suddenly they all went. So I don't think they moved them on.
There's quite a few in Folkestone, I know.
Yeah,
that's another show.
No, Hastings is where Normans land. That's when Normans come ashore and attack people with arrows in their eye and stuff.
Yeah, I don't know any Normans.
Do you not?
No, I know Len.
You know, well, you know Len really well.
I met him
spent
on
a long
Friday.
Time talking to him, yeah.
Actually, when I was at school, I went for tea with a boy called Howard Norman, and I always wonder what happened to him because he was in an orphanage. And I always remember, you know, I had a sort of quite a middle-class upbringing. My dad was a building society
even though manager. She lives in Essex.
Yeah. But my dad was a building society manager. They grew their own veg and that. Quite a normal sort of upbringing. And Howard Norman lived with nuns in this orphanage. It was like a big house, but not that big. And I went for tea with him, and I was always really shocked about how frugal his life was. The tea, this is like a, you know, you invite a friend round for tea, was a boiled egg and soldiers. Which I would have had for breakfast, you know, being a sort of, middle-class kid. And I always felt sorry for him, and I always wonder what happened to Howard Norman. So if anybody's listening and knows Howard Norman, who was in an orphanage in Chelmsford or Great Baddow in Essex in the 70s, late 70s, love to know what happened to Howard Norman and the nuns. But imagine having a mate round and you just get a boiled egg. Like, my mum would, like, make jelly if I had a mate round, or blancmange it was in those days, or junket. Remember junket?
Spam.
Spam and chips. And my mum used to make homemade chips for my mates when they came. And we used to play records for hours.
Talking of which...
You got music?
I've got music.
Tunage?
I've got tunage in homage to our first guest, who is Mark Viner. And Mark...
He's a boffin, isn't he?
Mark is going to talk about technology, and he's based in California.
I wonder if Ken Heron is listening. I bet he might know.
I tweeted Ken this morning, so I'm sure he is.
Yeah, and what is your tunage? Will I guess it?
Yes.
Oh, do you know the way to San Jose? Yeah, is it Aretha Franklin or Dionne
Warwick?
Dionne Warwick, yeah. Lovely song.
Do you know the way to San Jose? I've been away so long, I may go wrong and lose my way. Do you know the way to San Jose? I'm going back to find some peace of mind in San Jose. LA is a great big freeway. There never were parking cars and pumping gas. You can really breathe in San Jose. They've got a lot of space. There'll be a place where I can stay. I was born and raised in San Jose. I'm going back to find some peace of mind in San Jose. Fame and fortune is a magnet. It can pull you far away from home. Without a friend, you pack your car and ride. are parking cars and pumping gas.
It's an absolute pleasure to welcome Mark Venus for the Business Bunker Show. Good afternoon, Mark. Thank you for joining us. Mark runs Smart Tech Research. He's based over in California on the west coast of the US, and he's talking to us from San Jose this afternoon. Mark, welcome. Thanks for joining us.
Paul, thanks for inviting me.
It's an absolute pleasure. Why don't you kick off by telling us a bit about you and a bit about Smart Tech Research, what it is you actually do.
It's my own research firm that I started about 5.5 years ago. I'm a market analyst. I follow a number of different technology companies, both on the consumer side and on the enterprise IoT space area. A lot of those areas intersect with each other. I've got a video podcast that I do a couple times a week with clients and both with industry luminaries and press folks that talk about the biggest topics that are prevalent in the market at that time. And I write regularly for a wonderful platform, Tech News World. I've been doing that for some time, and I've written for Forbes in the past. But love to talk about anything that's consumer tech-related, even business tech-related. Again, a lot of those areas tend to intersect with each other. But I'm certainly glad to be here.
Yeah, fantastic. There's a lot happening as well right now, isn't there? I mean, I've worked in tech 50-odd years, and it's hard to keep up with some of it now as I get older, and you think, oh, no, please stop. but there's a lot happening, and it's gathering pace, and we're talking about the chat services and AI and all kinds of things. You were just off air, you were telling me about some stuff that was happening with AI over there at the moment.
Yeah, the AI stuff is, crazy. It's very controversial. It's obviously things like OpenAI and ChatGPT and all these incredible tools that were just unimaginable just a few years ago. It's creating some consternation from a workforce standpoint. We've had the Hollywood, the Screen Actors Guild, which is the biggest union in Hollywood with screenwriters, actors, the whole kit and caboodle. And they literally went on strike last week, largely because of the fear of what AI may do to their jobs.
Right.
And movie and television production has literally come to a halt. So we're going to see where that goes. Yeah. But it's largely because people think that writers and not so much actors. Well, it could be actors one day. But writers and the production crews that you don't see on the screen really feel that their jobs are in jeopardy as AI plays itself out.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you say not actors. I saw something on social media today. It was Morgan Freeman saying, "I'm not Morgan Freeman, and this isn't me. this is a construct." But we wouldn't have known. Yeah.
Right there. I don't know whether the new Indiana Jones movie with Harrison Ford is open yet over in Europe, but it opened a few weeks over here, and the first 10 minutes just to see what they did to Harrison Ford, because the scene opens during there has to be a Nazi scene, of course, in Indiana Jones film. And the first 15 minutes of the movie, it's a de-aged Harrison Ford. And I'm not sure that was him, whether it was a third party, and they just kind of they redid his face. But it's pretty remarkable in the first.
Yeah. It's
Morgan Freeman may be right.
So it's, I can understand, people's concerns, because it is kind of scary what you can do with technology now. Okay, so we were going to talk about the latest announcements from Apple Corp as well, this Vision Pro that they announced recently. Give us an overview of what that is, Mark, and how you see that.
Well, Apple a few weeks ago announced their plan. It's kind of an announcement to announce their AR/VR goggles called Apple Vision Pro. And fundamentally, I think they're approaching the category in an incredibly different way than some of the other players, most notably Meta, formerly Facebook, that has got the Oculus and Quest glasses. And they came in at the high end of the market, very high end of the market. I mean, they're $3,500 US dollars, which the industry considers a very, very high price point.
Yeah.
The other side of the coin is that they came at it from a platform standpoint. I mean, when you put these things on your head, and they did not shirk when it came to the technology they put into these goggles, they are really going to be able to enable some applications that I don't think they're absolutely going to be able to see on other competitive solutions until they emerge. But I really think that they did something fundamentally interesting, something fundamentally new. And what's interesting, Paul, what's happened in the technology industry, I'm not sure all my brethren would admit this, but the industry has really taken sides. You've got a side that says, you know what, we think Apple might be successful. It might be opening a brand new market with applications that are simply not possible with lower performing technology. Yeah, the price point is high, but price points do come down over time. And then you have another kind of group in the analyst and technology community that thinks, oh, Apple's not going to be successful. This is too expensive. There's no compelling applications for it, which has a level of truth. I think that's going to change over time.
Yeah.
But it's interesting to see there's almost two warring factions.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't bet against Apple. I think Apple is – I think they've made a huge bet. I think they've got to follow through on it, of course.
Mm.
They've got this developer community that will come up with some type of killer app that will say, hey, you know what? This is so compelling, I have to go buy this. It's essentially going to be, and this is a flashback to the 80s, it's going to be the Lotus 1-2-3.
Yeah. You know,
a Lotus 1-2-3 application that will emerge that really put the IBM PC, if you recall, on the map. I mean, there were other reasons why the IBM PC became popular, but that was a big, big driver when that application came out.
Absolutely. It's funny that you mentioned technology in the 80s. Back then, I was head of technology for Citibank in the UK. And in the late 70s, early 80s, when Apple launched the Apple II, one or two people arrived in the bank with these machines, and they said, these are going to be really smart. We went, well, you can't do anything with it. Well, you know, what are you going to do with it? And then somebody announced VisiCalc, and before you knew it, everybody in the entire organization had one. So you're right, it's a killer app, isn't it? That's what it looks for, and it's going to be interesting because, as you say, the price point of it as well is pretty high. That hasn't stopped Apple in the past, though, has it?
That's a very good point, Paul, and I made that point in my Tech News World column a few weeks ago, in that if you were, you know, when the IBM PC came out, it was $1,500 U.S. dollars back in 82.
Yeah.
If you adjust that for inflation, it's like a $5,000 product, and of course, IBM sold 850,000 units the first year.
Yeah.
Now, there's no question, price points are price points are price points, $3,500 in the consumer electronics area is really a very lofty price point. But Apple lives there. If you look at where they're successful with the iPhone, they own the high-end part of the market. When Apple comes out with a high-end 14 Pro Max, with the 15 Pro Max, which will come out, you know, presumably in the September time frame, Apple lives there. I mean, you know, they are the New York Yankees, to use a baseball phrase, of that category. When the Yankees are winning, I got some friends who will say, well, the Yankees haven't won a World Series in a while. But they just,
right. Cool. Yeah, no, absolutely right. Hey, let me ask you a question. Have you been able to try the Vision Pro?
I haven't, because I was out of pocket when the event happened, but I have talked to probably 20 people who were there. Now, Apple was very cagey. They only let people spend about 10 minutes with it.
Right.
But I will tell you that the feedback that I got was, you know, Mark, when you put these things on, this is not a toy. This makes the Quest and Oculus look like a toy. Mm-hmm. And the experience is so immersive that you almost get sick to your stomach. You know, now that's, to me, high praise, frankly.
Yeah.
And there is one usage model, well, there's a couple usage models that I think that will jump right off the bat that I think will become very compelling. And, for example, I do a lot of video editing work. I'm sure that you do this on the side as well. And I was out of pocket a few weeks ago in South Carolina visiting my mom, and I was in a hotel room with my trusty MacBook Pro 14-inch display. And anybody who's ever done video editing on a 14-inch monitor, it drives you crazy because it's a very linear type of discipline. Mm. And you can put your Mac desktop and probably ultimately your Windows desktop, there'll be third-party applications that will do that. When you can put that in a virtual space, and all of a sudden now I'm in a hotel room and I've got two 80-inch virtual displays that I can play with, that's a game changer.
Yeah.
An enterprise type of application. But then you flip the side to things like a virtual VR version of FaceTime, where you essentially think that you're in the same room with the other person. That's a big deal, and that could be much more of a consumer app because that could be great for people who are elderly. They may not be able to travel. Yeah. You know, FaceTime is great, but there's nothing like a VR version of that or an AR version of that. So I do think it's going to be a very interesting thing for Apple. Now, their success is by no means guaranteed. I want to be very, very clear about that. But, you know, they've been successful with the Apple Watch, which it's hard to do apples to apples comparison with that because that was a wearable device. People have been wearing watches for several hundred years. So that was more a kind of a bit of a low bar for them to succeed. But there's no question that this is going to happen. And now you can argue that it's going to happen in 2 years. You can argue that it's going to happen 5 years from now. But the big bet that Apple's essentially making is that this is going to replace a desktop computer or a portable computer or a smartphone. I mean, that's the vision. Okay. And I think it's got a lot of traction.
Yeah, because I think that's the interesting point. The most interesting point that you're making there is because a lot of people think, well, where does this fit? Where, you know, what's the purpose? What you just said makes it a lot clearer about what Apple think they're going to do with this. So, you know, that's a really good point. Thank you for that, Mark. Can I just ask you as well, because it's a big thing over here in the UK, and not so much in Europe, because there are some issues with it in Europe at the moment, but Threads, the new Facebook meta version of Twitter, as it were, have you got any thoughts on Threads?
I do, and I was one of those people. I was one of the first, 30 million people in 24 hours signed up for it, and I did.
Right.
I think if you look at some of the media reports over the last 72 hours, its momentum has slowed down dramatically. Now, Threads has a big advantage because it's owned by Zuck and it's owned by Instagram because it's really a tool that really works very well with Instagram, which has a huge user base. The promise of Threads to most people is that it's going to be a cleaned up version of Twitter. You know, now that is one thing I think that a lot of people would welcome.
Yep.
The problem is, and again, I'm a free speech advocate. You know, even if you don't like things that another person might say, either electronically or in person, they have a right to say it. Now, you don't have to listen to it, you know. But the reality is that their momentum, if you believe some of the recent news reports, has really slowed down from a subscription standpoint because a lot of the feedback that's coming back is that it's kind of boring. You know, it doesn't have that kind of excitement, that's a polite word, that that Twitter has.
Yeah.
And by the way, you know, let's face it, you know, Elon Musk has really kind of, you know, he's got kind of this reputation. I'm a big fan of what he's been able to do with Twitter. I know that may be a bit controversial, but the reality is that Twitter, you know, continues to be the go-to social media platform for this kind of, you know, exposition on the most interesting topics out there. And, of course, when you do that and you have a relatively low threshold for throttling back and, you know, shutting down controversial content, which I think Twitter is doing a much better job of. People talk about, well, it's too open. You know, anybody with a bone to pick, you know, can go to Twitter and say some really nasty and awful things. Mm-hmm. But for me, it gets down to brass tacks, and that if you have a platform that is so sanitized, it's not very exciting. And then you get to the discussion, well, who's the arbiters that decide what is controversial and what is not? You know, and you know, as an American who has, you know, great respect for our founding fathers and the principles of the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, many of which, by the way, I think are shared, even though it may not be documented in other countries like the UK.
Yeah.
You know, free speech is a very precious thing. And I think that when you're in a position where you're kind of confining it and you don't really know who what those algorithms are that are shutting down some of this content, which admittedly is some of it is, you know, turns your stomach, and some of it I understand why people might object to it. It kind of results into what we're seeing now with Threads, in that it went through this big, you know, ramp, And now it's not declining, of course, but it's roller coaster acceleration path up, I think, has ebbed a bit. And I think largely it's because the content, it seems to be not terribly exciting. And by the way, let's face it, if you're a big social media influencer on Twitter and you've got 10, 15, 20 million, 50,000, 20,000 followers, it may have taken you years to build that audience. Now you got to start that all over again, because remember, even though you might be have, let's say, for example, I think I have 10,000 followers on Instagram, which is not a big number. You know, Instagram is not really a platform that really is really suitable for the kind of discourse that I have. Mm-hmm. But those followers don't automatically transfer over to Threads. So I have to start again. Right. And most folks have to start again. So a lot of folks say, you know, do I really have time to spend 3, 5, 6 years building up my audience? So that's kind of another challenge that Threads is up.
And just from what it's worth, I'm smiling at some of the things. I love what you're saying about free speech. One of the issues, and Threads will find this as much as Twitter, is you know they're using algorithms to track things. But we do run into some funny things quite often, because British English has some differences to American English, and there are certain foodstuffs and smoking things in this country, for instance, that if you mention on Twitter, you immediately get suspended, which has caused us a lot of grief, because we say things that we normally say, and all of a sudden, you go, bang, I've been, wait, what did I do?
it's a very, very good point. And it goes back to my point that I made a few moments ago, in that if you rely on algorithms strictly to restrict content, well, that might create the appearance of independence, and humans didn't do it, we had some type of algorithm. Not all algorithms are precise enough to understand dialect differences and differences in cultures, and you get that kind of situation that you just talked about.
Yeah, and then we get interesting things. I don't know if you see it in the US, I'm sure you do, but in Germany, for instance, they've got this strange thing about reporting things to the German government on Twitter, and quite often we get notices saying you've been reported in Germany, and we go, yeah, whatever. Whatever, yeah.
We don't have that in the United States, of course, but we do have situations where certain social media platforms will label content. This content hasn't been validated. I mean, to go back to our initial topic when we talked about OpenAI, what chiefly concerns me, and it's relevant to this Threads conversation and Twitter, for example, is this whole discussion around deepfakes. And what concerns me deeply, even though I'm a big free speech advocate, the silicon companies have to do a much better job of allowing third-party customers and users, whatever you want to call them, to understand when they're watching a video, to understand whether that video is a deepfake or not. Because it can't be reliant on watermarks, because that can be cut out. Yeah. There has to be digital fingerprints that are embedded in the content that allow some type of person that when they're watching it, they could use your iPhone, for example, to scan that video. And even though it might be visible to the may not be visible to the naked eye, it can give you some type of probability this content has a 93% chance of being fake. Yeah. I saw a video morning on Instagram that was a spoof on Joe Biden, and this is not a left or right, you know, Republican or Democrat thing. It was so well done, Paul, so well done, I had no idea that it was fake. And of course, after you watch the whole thing, it's kind of a parody type of thing, and I think some of the commentary in the profile itself says it was a joke. But we're going to have some situations in the run-up to this election that you're going to see content that is going to be, I cannot believe it. And remember, keep in mind one thing. You don't have to be Steven Spielberg to create this content. The apps that are coming out, the bar is so low that your mom or your dad or someone who's, you know, hasn't touched a computer, if they know how to use a smartphone or an iPad, a tablet, they can create some crazy content. That's how low the bar has been created. And that concerns me, you know.
Now,
the content created, because there's a lot of great things that can come out of it, but the silicon companies have to step up and really create, take leadership positions on allowing people to identify whether that content was created in a digitally deepfake fashion.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the things I do like about the Musk Twitter is this you quite often see attached to a tweet, I can't remember what they call it, but it's deeper content, where somebody contextualizes the content and goes, well, actually, yeah, it's not that, it's this. I've seen that quite a lot, and every time so far, whoever's added that has added really useful content to it that says that's not actually true or it's not entirely accurate. Yeah, so I think that's a really good move. Because it allows curating from the readership. Yeah.
Exactly.
Mark, it's been fascinating talking to you. Thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker Show. It's been really great to hear your thoughts on what's going on, and there's so many things going on with technology. Thank you for joining us. We hope to speak to you again in the future, but for the moment, Mark Vina.
Become part of our community to build your social media habits with Workouts. Increase your brand's presence and engagement. Go to wedosocialmedia.co.uk.
Does your business have great customer service? Are you a successful small or large business? Are you creative or innovative? Whatever your business strengths, you need to shout them out. So what's stopping you? Enter the Kent Business Awards now. Get your easy-to-complete application form from businessawardskent.co.uk.
Talis Independent Financial Advisors can help you invest, organise your pensions, and even get you the best possible life insurance, mortgage, or equity release deal. Check out talisifa.com.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Ah, welcome back there. That was Mark Vina of Smart Tech Research. Oh, what a fascinating guy.
Yeah.
Interesting. It just shows you, you know, we invent these technologies like AI, and over there in California, the Hollywood Screenwriters Guild have gone out on strike because they're worried about losing their jobs because AI is going to write all the film scripts.
Well, it is fascinating, isn't it? Because I had a chat with a bot this morning, and really...
You had a chat with a bot?
Oh, I'm waiting for a supply of coconut oil that I... milk that I sent to my niece. And she hasn't got it, so it was, you know, 10 to 9. I thought, nobody will be there yet. I'm on bunker. I'll just bot them. And so I did all this thing, gave them, you know, what's your order number, what's your this, that, and the other. And... didn't give me any answer. It just said, we'll be right back to you. You know, in other words, they can't tell me anything.
I've worked in technology over 50 years, and I just, you know, everybody waxes lyrical about technology, but in real day-to-day life, so much technology is actually a pain in the backside rather than a help. Yeah, because it's all computers saying no, and it's all no, you know, and like you say, all these chatbots.
Well, it goes on forever. Like
no, but they don't ever answer the question.
No,
either.
They don't.
Amazon, you're having a good day.
One of the things
I was really annoyed about on Friday with our launch is I ordered pint glasses via Amazon, and big box arrived in the morning. I think fine. Took it over there, opened it, and they were half pint glasses.
Mm.
It's not what I wanted. Anyway, I managed to drive into town and bought some very expensive pint glasses and da 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 da. When I get home, I went, right, I'll complain to Amazon. There was nowhere in their automated system to say you've delivered the wrong thing. It was it broken?
Yeah.
Was it late?
Yeah.
Was it this? Nowhere could you put it. No, you delivered the wrong thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, you get to do these reviews.
Yeah.
So I put a review. I put the product was rubbish because it didn't take a pint. Yeah.
Did you vent your spleen?
Yeah, I did. And then Amazon wrote to me and said, you can't put that.
Really?
Yeah, and took it down.
What did you write?
I said it wasn't fit for purpose. I gave it one star, and I said because they delivered the wrong thing.
But they don't allow you to give an honest review.
No, they said no. You can't give a review about a failed delivery. Because that's not fair, because it's not the product's fault. Well, it is, because the product doesn't have a pint. You can't get a pint in it.
anyway, I find Amazon, and you know when you subscribe to things and then you try and unsubscribe,
the worst thing with Amazon, I ordered, last year I ordered a mobile phone for Amanda's birthday, and they arrived, came in a box. When I opened the box was empty. Yeah.
I remember this.
Do you remember? Yeah, and Amazon refused to refund me.
Really?
Yeah, totally, absolutely refused. They said, claim off your insurance. I reported it to the police. There was only one person that could have taken that. There was no other person. It had to be the driver of the van.
Because they have to take a photo when they deliver, don't they?
Anyway, so I reported it to the police and they went, yeah, claim off your insurance. The insurance went, oh, no, no, no. You can't claim off the insurance because it was never delivered, so it was never yours.
But the box was delivered.
And we sent it to cardboard box. They paid me a cardboard box.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, I've still got some tea that came. It's a really nice special tea that I wanted.
Specialty?
Yeah, specialty. and I think it might have come from India, I'm not sure, but I did buy it on Amazon. I hate supporting Amazon. Sometimes I have to get it on Amazon. And it was all chewed, all the boxes. I thought, well, it could be a mouse, could be a rat, I don't know. And I'm still trying to send it back.
Mm.
And I just have these long conversations with this company. And, you lose the will to live.
It's all chatbots, isn't it? And you go, the box is chewed. Yeah. And they go, what tune?
Yeah. And what is your postcode? And what is your order number? And then you tell them all that. And then you're nowhere.
Yeah.
You're still nowhere. And it's very frustrating. And sometimes you just want to speak to a person.
Yeah, it's not allowed.
Did you hear about me... I can't remember when it was, but B&Q, where it was all self-checkout.
Yeah.
And I had great big, soil, like huge bags of soil, and it was all self-checkout. And the queue in Whitstable snaked round because nobody could do it.
Mm.
And there was one bloke just standing there watching us all. Mm. And then he'd come and bob over and go, you have to do that. And then he'd walk back again and watch us. It was just ridiculous. And... yeah, and then I said, I've got a trade account because, I do up flats and that for people. And I said, can I... I haven't got my car because I have my new husband's car because it's bigger for a boot. And I said, can I just give you my postcode and you can, find it from that? No, that was no good. He said, you have to download the app.
Oh, don't even get me started on apps.
I don't have any more apps.
I was in Tesco's. I was in Tesco's on Friday. I get to the checkout till. There's no phone signal.
Ah! This is what will happen.
Hey. I go, I've got no signal. And he's gone, I can't get my credit card, I can't pay, I can't do anything. I've got no phone signal. And you've got no Wi-Fi in the store, yet everything here is electronic. Why haven't you got Wi-Fi in the store?
Yeah.
Oh, no, we can't do that. I've got no signal. I'll just have to wait here until I get a signal, won't I?
And it's not good where you are, the signals.
No, it's horrible.
Particularly good.
Don't even get me started on that.
It's difficult, isn't it? I noticed that 5G is going up everywhere.
We can't even get 3G.
I know.
Kim Stevens has been on. Good afternoon, Business Funker Show. How are you all doing? We're very well, thank you, Kim. We're having a good old rant, as normal. She says, I'd love a shout-out today, please, if I may. She said, I'd like to say a massive thank you to our caring Kent teams in Ashford and Folkestone for their outstanding care and devotion every single day. That's the team at Caring Kent, and a big shout-out from the boss.
Lots of carers need breaks as well. I've been hearing about, carers that look after their parents or, somebody in the family, and they can't have a break. They can't have a day out. They can't go on holiday. So it's really, really important.
Mm.
And we've had a little email from Island Works. They're a new co-working event. I think we were alluding to them earlier. They're in Sheerness on the island, the lovely sunny island of Sheppey.
The sun-kissed isle of Sheppey.
The sun-kissed
isle. Trademark... John Nurden.
my old mucker, John Nurden. So it's Island Works, and it's a new co-working event, meeting room, startup incubator, and a coffee shop. And I hear they have cake, too. They have a community open day, which is Saturday, July the 22nd. That's this Saturday.
Sorry, yes.
It's at the Dockyard Church, Naval Terrace, Sheerness. And the sat-nav is M for Mother, E for Egbert, 12, 1, R for Ronald, and R for Roger. And details are on www.kentbusinessradio.co.uk with a little /calendar. And you said something about if you're parking there, difficult for sat-nav, didn't you say?
No, what it is...
I heard you saying.
Yeah. If you put the sat-nav in, it takes you to Naval Terrace,
aye.
Which is the road that runs... adjacent to the church.
Mm.
But if you actually go to Naval Terrace, you can't get into the church because the road's a no-through road. So although the address, according to the post office, is Naval Terrace, you actually have to go to the entrance to the dock. But I was over there the other day, and there was a delivery driver, and I I was walking out into Blue Town to go and get something, which is next door. And there's a delivery driver standing there looking lost. And I went, "You're right, mate." And he went, "Yeah." He said, "My sat-nav brought me here, but I can't find this Island Works place." I go, "Well, what's the address?" So I'm thinking, "I'm not going to give it to you, it's easy." He said, "Dockyard Church." I went, "Can you spot a church anywhere?" And he's gone, "Oh, yeah." It's right there, and it's like 29,000 feet tall, yeah? And it's the only building there. I think you'll find that's the church. So if you go round that bit of green, you can get in the door. Oh, thank you. But it's just bonkers.
I think that
it's another example of failed technology. Yeah, it's database technology.
Yeah.
You know, once they've decided something somewhere, no matter whether it is or not, it then becomes that's where it is now, because that's what the database said it is.
Mm.
We have exactly the same problem in Tenterton.
I think that working in that church at the Island Works will be very inspiring.
Do you reckon?
Inspiring.
Oh, I get you. Yeah. I see what you did there.
Yeah.
Except we haven't got a spire, we've got a tower.
Oh.
It's a clock tower.
Have you been up there?
Yeah.
You've been up clock tower?
Yeah, it's not in Yorkshire at all.
No.
Yeah. It's nearer France, to be honest.
Sheppey, yeah. Well, I could wave to you from my house, couldn't I?
You could.
I could come over in my husband's catamaran.
Yeah, we could see Southend out of the tower window.
I could come over in the catamaran.
You could do.
I have to say catamaran, because I always want to call it catamaran.
Catamaran.
Which is easier on the tongue, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, I've lost it now. See, after all that chatting, I've lost it.
Well, there's an opportunity for female entrepreneurs with Herbiz.
Oh, yeah.
It's a popular Herbiz program, and it helps aspire. See, there we go. Female entrepreneurs to set up their own business. You can gain the tools, knowledge, and confidence to start a business venture. And the free women's startup program offers a £500 prize to put towards startup costs in an optional business plan competition. The program consists of 3x3-hour online sessions, Friday 21st and 28th of July. That's at 10 to 1pm. And to enter and to find out more, you can go to Let's Do Business Group Events. And as usual, all details will be on kentbusinessradio.co.uk.
Thank you. Tracy Ferguson has tweeted, "What an interesting conversation with Mark Vina, the tech guy."
Mm.
So thank you for that, Tracy. And Mark says, "Thank you for listening, Tracy."
And Tracy also says, "I agree, Paul, that I can see where VR might be used to support communication in otherwise challenging circumstances when the price point allows." And she says, "It's like any tech, I'm guessing. I remember paying hundreds for a microwave in the 80s, and now they're so cheap. Such an interesting topic." And you can find Tracy, you can follow her on Tazi, T-A-Z-I-64. She's the owner of Plucky's World. She starts conversations. She supports self-awareness. She's a personal growth trainer and mentor. And you can find her at pluckysworld.com. That's Plucky with a Y-S, pluckysworld.com. And she says, "The time to do what you love is now."
Buddy Collector, the lovely Martin, has said he thoroughly enjoyed the AI interview with Mark. And Sam Kelly was saying talking about threads, as we were in that interview.
Mm.
The momentum has slowed down. Feedback coming back that it's boring. Twitter continues to be the go-to platform for interesting content. Yeah, not only is it boring, it's owned by Zuckerberg, so it's dodgy as well, as far as I'm concerned. They allow too many...
Oh, threads.
I beg your pardon?
Threads you're talking about on Facebook.
Yeah. Yeah, the Facebook alternative to Twitter.
I haven't even looked at it, actually.
No, nor have I.
And
Facebook, somebody's hacked my... They haven't hacked my account. They're passing themselves off as me again.
Really?
Yeah, the weekend. I get one of those every 3 weeks. And Facebook don't ever do anything about it. You report it. They never do anything about it.
Well, didn't Amanda's get hacked? Well,
yeah, she couldn't get her account back. Mm. They said, you can't tell us the password. She said, "That's because somebody hacked my account and changed the password." Yeah, well, unless you can tell us the new password, you can't have it back. You know, don't be ridiculous. Just ridiculous.
Mm.
Casey Kanon has been on. Did you read that?
No, you can.
He said, "Please, can you give a shout out to a very patient greyhound still waiting to meet the apple of his eye?"
That's Darcy, my greyhound, of course. And I've sent him a little answer with a picture of Darcy. It's a sad picture of her because she just chewed 3 of my shoes. She doesn't normally do it, but Penny, the suitcase came out. We were going to Ibiza, and of course she knows the suitcase means that we're leaving, so she chewed 3 of my shoes. Very expensive ones. One pair, I'd only got them on the Friday, wore them on the Saturday, chewed on the Sunday.
Well, of course, we all suggested that she don't leave her shoes in the same room as the dog, but that would be too simple. Yeah.
Well, now I've now got a shoe cupboard. I had a cleaning cupboard in my hallway, and the cleaning stuff's gone out, and shoes.
Yeah.
You ought to make the dog sleep in a suitcase if you get used to it, then, wouldn't you?
That's probably quite a good training idea.
I can sort these things out.
Desensitising, that.
Yeah.
Very good.
Tenterton Chamber of Commerce have been on. Hi, Paul and Jules. Please, can you give a shout out to a busy chamber team preparing for our monthly committee meeting?
I was sad not to meet them at your gig on Friday.
Yeah, Terry was at...
He went to Goodwood to
the Festival of Speed. Yeah. I haven't been to that for years.
No, I've never been, actually.
The last time I went, I had dinner with... I'm name-dropping now. I had dinner with Sterling Moss and his gorgeous wife, Susan.
Sterling
Moss. Yeah.
Do you know my old dad used to, when I drove, used to say, oh, it's like sitting with Sterling Moss, it is.
Yeah.
And we still say that, and of course the kids don't know who Sterling Moss is, but what a driver.
A friend of mine, right, this is a true story. A friend of mine, his name's Howard Kendall.
Oh, I know Howard, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But there was a footballer and football manager called Howard Kendall, yeah. My friend Howard, his best mate is called Nigel Mansell, right?
Really?
Yeah, he's not the Nigel Mansell, he's called Nigel Mansell, right? They were driving down a motorway and they got pulled over by the cops, and the cops said name, and he went, Howard Kendall, and he went, I suppose your mate Sterling Moss. And he went, no, it's Nigel Mansell. And they nicked him until they both showed their driver's licenses. And the cop was going, well, who'd have believed that?
Oh, that's great. I love that. I haven't seen Howard for a long time. What's
he was due to come on Friday, but he couldn't make it. Yeah.
Oh, okay. He was probably racing as well.
Sam Kelly, the lovely, gorgeous, tweeting goddess from over there in Dublin, has waved to me and you. Thank you, Sam. It was Sam that introduced me to Mark Vina, by the way.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Well, she's a mover and a shaker over there in Dublin.
She certainly is.
She's Dublin.
She lives just outside. She lives in Wicklow. But she's known as Tweeting Goddess.
Yeah.
And she's brilliant.
We all need a
goddess in our DG East have tweeted, electric vehicle sales are predicted to fall significantly in Europe due to Chinese competition. I'm going to get Terry back on in a couple of weeks to talk about that because things are moving in that area.
I know we're coming up to the news. I'll tell you, I'll gabble it. When I was in Sainsbury's, I was at Home Bargains buying all this stuff for my daughter's flat. And I wanted to get her a non-stick saucepan, and I bought the Hairy Bikers one, who are nice northern, you know, wholesome lads, aren't they?
Yep.
And I bought their saucepan, frying pan, non-stick, Hairy Bikers, got it home for my daughter, looked on the back, made in China.
Oh, yeah.
Now, we used to make these things in Sheffield, didn't we?
Yeah.
What do you think, Mark?
Yeah.
I was horrified.
Yeah.
I'm going to tweet them, actually, because it shocked me. I would have thought they would have been a bit more British in there.
Anyway...
time for the news.
Enough of that. It's time to join the newsroom. Mm. And when we come back, we're going to talk to someone sensible for a change.
Yes.
We're going to hear from Penny and Mark.
And Mark.
Yeah.
Mark back, my words.
Yeah, here we go.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews. Channel Radio News Update.
Rail passengers are being warned to expect disruption for the next month as a fresh wave of strikes get underway. A 48-hour walkout by the RMT begins today, with another one starting on Friday. One of the big